Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve. Today's show is for the 3rd of January, 2018. We are in the book of Jasher, Sefer HaYashar, the book of the upright, or the scroll of the upright. And we're going to be beginning in chapter 15 today. I want to get this information out there before we get into this. You can download or listen to all my shows, Word for Word, Wake Up Call, all of that, at https://www.pastor, that's P-A-S-T-O-R, hyphen, Steve, S-T-E-V-E, .com. User-friendly site, it's not interactive. There's no comment section. It's just for study, downloading, and listening. That's it. Lots of links there on the two seed line links. And this method eliminates the trolls, etc. I don't have time to babysit. I'm really busy doing this work and other work and at EFR. So if you want to download, you want to listen, there you go. Let's get into chapter 15 here. We had finished up the story of where the name Parao or Pharaoh came from in the last chapter in 14. So now they're in the land of Canaan, Abram is, and company. So let's start with verse 1, and you can reference Genesis 12, verse 10. That corresponds pretty much with verse 1 of chapter 15. Let me get a little drink of coffee here. Oh yes, that helps. Verse 1 of chapter 15 of Jasher. And in that year there was a heavy famine throughout the land of Canaan, and the inhabitants of the land could not remain on account of the famine, for it was very grievous. Verse 2. And Abram and all belonging to him, all the hangers-on, etc., household servants, whatever, rose and went down to Mitzrayim, that's Egypt, on account of the famine, because they had some great farmland and stuff down there. And when they were at the brook Mitzrayim, that's the brook of Egypt, they remained there some time to rest from the road. Now, the fatigue of the road is implied. Verse 3. And Abram and Sarai were walking at the border of the brook Mitzrayim, and Abram beheld his wife Sarai, that she was very beautiful. Very beautiful. Okay. Verse 4. And Abram said to his wife Sarai, since Yah has created you with such a beautiful countenance, I am afraid of the Mitzrayim, that's the Egyptians, lest they should slay me and take you away, for the fear of Yah is not in this place. In other words, they weren't Yahweh worshipers. They were whatever. They had multiple gods. Verse 5. Surely then you shall do this. Say, you are my sister to all that may ask you, in order that it may be well with me and that we may live and not be put to death. Well, that was his plan. That was one plan. But it wasn't going to work out as well as he thought it might. So later on, that's gonna come out that she's not his sister. Verse 6. And Abram commanded, and it has the same in italics, which means it's not in the text, commanded to all that came with him to Mitzrayim on account of the famine. Also his nephew Lot he commanded, saying, if the Egyptians ask you concerning Sarai, say she is the sister of Abram. Verse 7. Well, this is an interesting little tale here, which you're not going to get anywhere else. Verse 7. And yet with all these orders, Abram did not put confidence in them, but he took Sarai and placed her in a chest and concealed it among their vessels. For Abram was greatly concerned about Sarai on account of the wickedness of the Mitzrayim, because they were not Yahweh worshipers, and they did a lot of stuff that the people of Abram did not do. Verse 8. And Abram and all belongings to him rose up from the brook Mitzrayim and came to Mitzrayim. That's the country. And the stream of Mitzrayim was named as the stream of Egypt, okay? And they had entered the gates of the city when the guards stood up to them, saying, give tithe to the king from what you have, and then you may come into the town. And Abram and those that were with him did so. Verse 9. And Abram with the people that were with him came to Mitzrayim, and when they came, they brought the chest in which Sarai was concealed. And the Mitzrayim saw the chest. Verse 10. And the king's servants approached Abram, saying, what have you here in this chest, which we have not seen? Now open you the chest and give tithe to the king of all that it contains. Well, stop right here. That was where Sarai was concealed. He didn't want those people to see her, because they would lust after her, and you know, they were not good people, okay? Verse 11, continuing on. And Abram said, "This chest I will not open, but all you demand upon it I will give." And Pharaoh's offer, now it says Pharaoh, but that's not how it's spelled or pronounced. It's Pharaoh. Pharaoh's officers answered Abram, saying, "It is a chest of precious stones. Giveth the tenth." That's the tithe. Verse 12. Abram said, "All that you desire I will give, but you must not open the chest." That's waving a red flag in front of a bull, I guess. Verse 13, and the king's officers pressed Abram, and they reached the chest and opened it with force, and they saw, and behold, a beautiful woman was in the chest. Verse 14, and when the officers of the king beheld Sarai, they were struck with admiration at her beauty, and all the princes and servants of Pharaoh assembled to see Sarai, for she was very beautiful. And the king's officers ran and told Pharaoh all they had seen, and they praised Sarai to the king. And Pharaoh ordered her to be brought, and the woman came before the king. Verse 15. And Pharaoh beheld Sarai, and she pleased him exceedingly. And he was struck with her beauty, and the king rejoiced greatly on her account, and made presents to those who brought him the tidings concerning her. In other words, whoa, look at this babe. Oh, man, I'm going to have her. Well, that's what he was thinking, perhaps. But it didn't quite work out well for him. Verse 16, and the woman was then brought to Pharaoh's house, and Abram grieved on account of his wife, and he prayed to Yahweh to deliver her from the hands of Pharaoh. Verse 17, and Sarai also prayed at that time and said, "O Yahweh, you did tell my lord Abram to go from his land and from his father's house to the land of Canaan, and you did promise to do well with him if he would perform your commands. Now behold, we have done that which you did command us, and we left our land and our families, and we went to a strange land, and to a people whom we have not known before." Verse 18. "And we came to this land to avoid the famine, and this evil accident has befallen me. Now therefore, O Yahweh, deliver us and save us from the hand of this oppressor, and do well with me for the sake of your mercy." Aha! Prayer of a righteous woman. Verse 19, and Yahweh hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Yahweh sent a messenger. That would be an angel, okay, in the text, but a messenger. Angel is a church term. Sent a messenger to deliver Sarai from the power of Pharaoh. Verse 20. And the king came and sat before Sarai, and behold, a messenger of Yahweh was standing over them. He didn't see the messenger. And he appeared to Sarai and said to her, she got to see him. And said to her, "Do not fear, for Yahweh has heard your prayer." Okay. Verse 21. And the king approached Sarai and said to her, "What is that man to you who brought you here?" And she said, He is my brother. Well, they were racial kinsmen, okay? Verse 22, and the king said, it is upon us to make him great, to elevate him and to do unto him all the good which you shall command us. Okay. And at that time the king sent to Abram silver and gold and precious stones in abundance, together with cattle, men servants and maid servants, and the king ordered Abram to be brought, and he sat in the court of the king's house. And the king greatly exalted Abram on that night. Okay, he was going to buy him off. Verse 23, and the king approached to speak to Sarai, and he reached out his hand to touch her, when the messenger smote him heavily, and he was terrified, and he refrained from reaching to her. In other words, this invisible being smacked him down. Here's verse 24. And when the king came near to Sarai, the messenger smote him to the ground and acted thus to him the whole night. And the king was terrified because this invisible being was beating him up. Oh, man. Can you imagine? And the messenger on that night smote heavily all the servants of the king and his whole household on account of Sarai. And there was a great lamentation that night amongst the people of Pharaoh's house. He went around and just beat everybody up. Oh, wow. You don't get this in the King James. Verse 26. And Pharaoh, seeing the evil that befell him, said, surely on account of this woman has this thing happened to me. And he removed himself from her and spoke pleasing words to her. Please don't let this thing beat me up anymore. Oh, man. I love this. I love this book of Jasher. It is, wow. It really fills you in. Verse 27. And the king said to Sarai, tell me, I pray you, concerning the man with whom you came here. And Sarai said, this man is my husband. And I said to you that he was my brother, for I was afraid lest you should put him to death through wickedness. In other words, they were told that these people were wicked. Well, this king had just had the heck beat out of him by this invisible messenger. Verse 28, and the king kept away from Sarai, and the plagues of the messenger of Yahweh ceased from him and his household. And Pharaoh knew that he was smitten on account of Sarai, and the king was greatly astonished at this. Well, I imagine he was. He reaches out to touch this woman. Whap! Whoa! Knocked him to the ground. you gotta love it, folks. Verse 29. And in the morning the king called for Abram and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you say she is my sister? I took her in unto me for a wife, and this heavy plague has come upon me and my household. Verse 30, now therefore here's your wife. Take her and go from our land, lest we all die on her account. Verse 30, and Pharaoh took more cattle, men servants and maid servants, and silver and gold to give to Abram, and he returned unto him Sarai, his wife. Oh boy. This is the king of all of Egypt. He's mighty. Everybody bowed down, and all around, nations around, nobody messed with this dude. He's the high muckety muck, and he reaches out to touch this guy's wife and just gets the heck beat out of him by an invisible being. So he was a little upset. Verse 31, and the king took a maiden whom he begat by his concubines, and he gave her to Sarai for a handmaid. Verse 32, and the king said to his daughter, who's his daughter by one of the concubines, and I do believe that this was Hagar, okay? It is better for you, my daughter, to be a handmaid in this man's house than to be mistress in my house after we have beheld the evil that befell us on account of this woman. In other words, I just got the heck beat out of me by an invisible angel. This guy's got some power. You're going to go with him and be this woman's maidservant. Well, this is just a daughter of a concubine. So they did whatever they wanted with the children of the concubines, especially in Egypt. Verse 33, and Abram arose, and he and all belonging to him went away from Mitzrayim, and Pharaoh ordered some of his men to accompany him and all that were with him. Verse 34, you can reference Genesis chapter 13, verse 3, okay? And Abram returned to the land of Canaan, to the place where he had made the altar, where he at first had pitched his tent. Verse 35. And Lot, the son of Haran, Abram's brother, had a heavy stock of cattle, flocks, and herds, and tents, for Yahweh was bountiful to them on account of Abram. Not necessarily Lot, but Abram, being his uncle, the blessing came down because Yahweh loved Abram. Abram was faithful. And he witnessed and told everybody about the rules of Yahweh. And that's the way Yahweh treats his own. Verse 36. Let me get a little hit of this coffee while it's still hot. Verse 36, and when Abram was dwelling in the land, the herdsmen of Lot quarreled with the herdsmen of Abram, for their property was too great for them to remain together in the land, and the land could not bear them on account of their cattle. Now, sheep and goats and cattle were all called cattle. That's all their livestock, okay? They were overgrazing. Verse 37, and when Abram's herdsmen went to feed their flock, in italics, they would not go into the fields of the people of the land. But the cattle of Lot's herdsmen did otherwise, for they were allowed to, or suffered to feed in the fields of the people of the land. Well, Lot allowed them to do that. Okay? That's not good. Verse 38. And the people of the land saw this occurrence daily, and they came to Abram and quarreled with him on account of Lot's herdsmen. Well, it wasn't Abram's herdsmen that were doing this. It was Lot's. Verse 39. Verse 39. And Abram said to Lot, "What is this you are doing to me to make me despicable to the inhabitants of the land, that you order your herdsmen to feed your cattle in the fields of other people? Do you not know that I am a stranger in this land among the children of Canaan, and why will you do this to me?" Verse 40. And Abram quarreled daily with Lot on account of this, but Lot would not listen to Abram, and he continued to do the same, and the inhabitants of the land came and told Abram. They came and were crying to Abram, even though it wasn't his herdsman doing it, it was his nephew. Okay? Verse 41, and you can reference Genesis 13, verse 8. And Abram said unto Lot, "How long will you be to me for a stumbling block with the inhabitants of the land? Now, I beseech you, let there be no more quarreling between us, for we are kinsmen." Verse 42, "But I pray you, separate from me, go and choose a place where you may dwell with your cattle and all belonging to you, but keep yourself at a distance from me, you and your household," because there are just too many people. Verse 43, "And be not afraid in going from me, for if anyone do an injury to you, let me know, and I will avenge your cause from him. Only remove from me." In other words, go live someplace else. I'll make sure nobody messes with you. But you're overgrazing and you're making these people live here angry, and we just can't have this. So he was speaking reason to him. Verse 44, "And when Abram had spoken all these words to Lot, then Lot arose and lifted up his eyes toward the plain of Yarden." That's Jordan. There's no J in Hebrew. And it's Yarden, Y-A-R-D-E-N. "And he saw that the whole of this place was well watered," of course, from the Jordan River, "and good for man as well as affording pasture for the cattle." Verse 46, "And Lot went from Abram to that place, and he there pitched his tent, and he dwelled in Sedom." And it says Sodom, but it is not. It's Sedom. S-E-D-O-M. Sedom. And when they talk about Gomorrah, it is not Gomorrah, it is Amorah with an A. A-M-O-R-R-A-H. They anglicized a lot of the stuff, and it's misspelled and mispronounced because of that. Verse 47, "And Abram dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron." Okay. "And they were there years before." Okay, this is way back. "And he pitched his tent there, and Abram remained in that place many years." That ends chapter 15. I was going to go all the way through 17. I may make it, I may not. So we may have to stop at the end of 16. But that's not a problem. I'm not going to rush this. I'm going to give you all the info. I'm not going to play fast and loose with this. This is an important book. You really need to hear all of this stuff, especially all the notes that I have made over all these. This book's 30. I've got this book for 30 years. It's dog-eared, and I've repaired it. I just put more tape on it this morning starting to fall apart. I've glued the pages back in. I really need to order a new one. Oh, man. Verse 1 of chapter 16. Here we go with Chedorlaomer again. At that time, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, sent to all the neighboring kings, to Nimrod, king of Shinar, who was then under his power, remember I read you all about that, and to Tidal, king of nations, that's Goyim, that's what Goyim means, nations, and to Arioch, king of Elasar, with whom he made a covenant, saying, come up to me and assist me that we may smite all the towns of Sidon and its inhabitants, for they have rebelled against me these 13 years. Okay. You can reference Genesis 14, verse 1 on that. Verse 2. And these four kings went up with all their camps, about 800,000 men, and they went as they were and smote every man they found in their road. In other words, anybody they came across, they smote everybody. Verse 3, and the five kings of Sodom and Amorah, not Gomorrah, Amorah, Shinab king of Admah, Shamebar, king of Zeboim, Bera, king of Sidon, Bersha, king of Amorah, and Bela, king of Zoar, went out to meet them, and they all joined together in the valley of Siddim. Verse 4, and these nine kings made war in the valley of Siddim, and the kings of Sidon and Amorah were smitten before the kings of Elam. Verse 5. And the valley of Siddim was full of lime pits, and the kings of Elam pursued the kings of Siddim, and the kings of Siddim with their camps fled and fell into the lime pits, and all that remained went to the mountain for safety. And the five kings of Elam came after them and pursued them to the gates of Sodom. And they took all that there was in Sodom. Now it says lime pits here. Okay. It says, elsewhere that they had in that plain, the plain of Mamre, there were bitumen pits. Those are tar pits, and they used bitumen as mortar and all that stuff. But here it says lime pits, so we will go with that. That's what they have in this text. But I wanted to note that for you, that it might be tar pits. Just might be. Okay. Verse 6. And they plundered all the cities of Sodom and Amorah, and they also took Lot. He was there. Abram's brother's son, the son of Haran, and his property. And they seized all the goods of the cities of Sodom, and they went away. And Unic, Abram's servant, who was in the battle, saw and told Abram all that the kings had done to the cities of Sodom, and that Lot was taken captive by them. Uh-oh. Verse 7. And Abram heard this, and he rose up with about 318 men that were with him. And he that night pursued these kings and smote them. And they all fell before Abram and his men. And there was none remaining but the four kings who fled. In other words, Abram's men killed them all. All those people. But the four kings who fled, and they went each his own road. Verse 8, and Abram recovered all the property of Sodom, and he also recovered Lot and his property, his wives and little ones, and all belonging to him, so that Lot lacked nothing. Verse 9, and when he returned from smiting these kings, he and his men passed the valley of Siddim, where the kings had made war together. Verse 10, and Bera, king of Sodom, and the rest of his men, that's Sodom, okay, the rest of his men that were with him, went out from the lime pits into which they had fallen to meet Abram and his men. All right, let's stop right here. This verse, 11, etc., etc., you can reference Genesis 14, verse 18. But this identifies who this king is. Well, I'll give you the note after I read these two verses. And Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, the same was Shem, went out with his men to meet Abram and his people with bread and wine, and they remained together in the valley of Melech, the valley of the kings. Yeah, pardon me just a second. Yeah, my sinus has finally opened up. The valley of the king, Melech, that means king. Verse 12, and Adonizedek blessed Abram, and Abram gave him a tenth from all that he had brought from the spoil of his enemies, for Adonizedek was a priest before Yahweh. Stop right here. Who is this Adonizedek? It's Melchizedek in the King James, but it means Melchizedek, the king of righteousness. He was a priest before Yahweh, the king of righteousness. Adonizedek. That means Lord of Righteousness, Adonizedek, and Melchizedek, or Malchizedek, means King of Righteousness. He was King of Jerusalem. Okay? Wow! That Shem goes all the way back. That's Shem. He's still alive. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Okay, remember? Sons of Noach. This is Shem. That's where he settled. Okay. Moving on. Verse 13. And all the kings of Sodom and Amorah who were there with their servants approached Abram and begged of him to return them their servants whom he had made captive, and to take unto himself all the property. In other words, just take, you can keep all that stuff, just give us our servants. And Abram answered the kings of Sodom, saying, as Yahweh lives, who created the sky and land, and who redeemed my soul or being, nephesh, from all affliction, and who delivered me this day from my enemies and gave them into my hand, I will not take anything belonging to you, that you may not boast tomorrow, saying, Abram became rich from our property that he saved. Verse 15, for Yahweh, my Elohim, in whom I trust, said unto me, you shall lack nothing, for I will bless you in all the works of your hands. Verse 16, and now therefore, behold, here is all belonging to you. Take it and go. As Yahweh lives, I will not take from you a soul down to a shoe tie or thread, excepting the food of those who went out with me to battle, as also the portions of the men who went with me, Anar, Ashkol, and Mamre. They and their men, as well as those who also had remained to watch the baggage, they shall take their portion of the spoil. So he let all the men that were with him take that spoil. And I can see right now, I'm not going to get to chapter 17. I'm just going to do 15, 16. Verse 17, and the kings of Sedom gave Abram according to all that he had said, and they pressed him to take of whatever he chose, but he would not. Verse 18, and he sent away the kings of Sedom and the remainder of their men, and he gave them orders about Lot, and they went to their respective places. Verse 19, and Lot, his brother's son, he also sent away with his property, and he went with them, and Lot returned to his home, to Sedom, and Abram and his people returned to their home, to the plains of Mamre, which is in Hebron. And I need a little more coffee. Yes. All right. Verse 20. And you can reference Genesis 15, verse 1. At that time, Yahweh again appeared to Abram in Hebron, and he said to him, do not fear. Your reward is very great before me, for I will not leave you until I shall have multiplied you. The same thing he said to him before. I shall have multiplied you and blessed you and made your seed line like the stars in the sky, which cannot be measured nor numbered. Wow. Verse 21, and I will give unto your seed all these lands that you see with your eyes. To them will I give them for an inheritance forever. Only be strong and do not fear. Walk before me and be perfect. Or blameless, you know, it's the same deal. Verse 22. And in the 78th year of the life of Abram, in that year died Reu, the son of Peleg, and all the days of Reu were 239 years, and he died. Verse 23, and Sarai, the daughter of Haran, Abram's wife, was still barren in those days. She did not bear to Abram either son or daughter. Here's verse 24. You can reference Genesis 16, verse 3. And when she saw that she bare no children, she took her handmaid, Hagar, whom Pharaoh had given her, that's what I told you earlier, and she gave her to Abram, her husband, for a wife. Now, this Hagar was the daughter of Pharaoh, and she was used to being a pampered royal daughter. Verse 25, for Hagar learned all the ways of Sarai, as Sarai taught her. She was not in any way deficient in following her good ways. That bit about her being Pharaoh's royal daughter that he gave to Abram explains a lot. She had a haughty demeanor later and would cause problems. She had an ego. Verse 26. And Sarai said to Abram, behold, my handmaid Hagar, go to her that she may bring forth upon my knees. In other words, she'll bring children forth for me, that I may also obtain children through her. Verse 27. And at the end of 10 years of Abram's dwelling in the land of Canaan, which is the 85th year of Abram's life, Sarai gave Hagar unto him. Verse 28, and Abram hearkened to the voice of his wife Sarai, and he took his handmaid Hagar, and Abram came to her, and she conceived. Verse 29, and when Hagar saw that she had conceived, she rejoiced greatly. And her mistress was despised in her eyes, and she said within herself, now what did I tell you? This is a royal daughter. And she was used to being a high muckety-muck herself. Well, she was now a maidservant to Sarai. Well, she said within herself, this can only be that I am better before Yah than Sarai, my mistress. For all the days that my mistress has been with my Lord, she did not conceive, but me, Yahweh has caused in so short a time to conceive by him. There's her ego coming forth, because she was a royal daughter of Pharaoh. Now a maidservant to this woman. Whoa. Verse 30. And when Sarai saw that Hagar had conceived by Abram, Sarai was jealous of her handmaid. That's a womanly thing. And Sarai said within herself, this is surely nothing else but that she must be better than I. It hurt her. Verse 31, and Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon you. For at the time when you did pray before Yahweh for children, why did you not pray on my account, that Yahweh should give me seed from you? In other words, it's all your fault. Verse 32, and when I speak to Hagar in your presence, she despises my words because she is conceived, and you will say nothing to her. May Yahweh judge between me and you for what you have done to me. In other words, it's all your fault. Poor Abram. Verse 33, and Abram said to Sarai, behold, your handmaid is in your hand. Do unto her as it may seem good in your eyes. In other words, but she's your handmaid. Okay, well, Sarai's having a jealous snit. Okay, continuing on. And Sarai afflicted her, and Hagar fled from her to the wilderness. In other words, she just really turned around and was really mean and hateful. Verse 34, and a messenger of Yahweh found her in the place where she had fled. It says angel again, but it's not angel, it's messenger if you read the Hebrew. By well, and he said to her, do not fear, for I will multiply your seed, for you shall bear a son. And you shall call his name Ishmael. Now, return to Sarai, your mistress, and submit yourself under her hands. And you can reference Genesis 16, verse 11. And Hagar, verse 35, and Hagar called the place of that well Be'er Lachai Roy. Yahweh sees. Okay, the well of the seeing. Okay. It is between Kadesh and the wilderness of Bered. Verse 36. And Hagar at that time returned to her master's house, and at the end of days, in other words, her pregnancy, Hagar bare a son to Abram. And Abram called his name Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when he begat him. So there you go. That ends chapter 16. I'm not going to get 17 in today. It's just not going to happen. I don't rush. I don't want to do that. Well, I'm coming down the end of my time here. I will get into chapter 17 on Friday, January 5th, and we'll continue on from there. I want to remind everybody that you can go to my website and download all of my shows. Wake Up Call and Word for Word, and I have lots of links to other Two Seed Line sites, and I hope you enjoy. That's https://www.pastor-steve.com. So I have enjoyed Sefer HaYashar, the Book of the Upright, very much so far. I hope you are enjoying it. And we will continue on. There are 91 chapters. So we're going to be in Jasher for some time. This is not going to be a real quick read. Then we're going to do Jubilees and the Book of Enoch and then the rest of the Apocrypha. I'll go through things. Some of the stuff we're going to skip because Eli and I and Pastor Howard are going through 2nd Esdras with a fine-tooth comb. So I don't need to do a show on that. But right now, may Yahweh bless and keep you. And I will talk to you again. Tomorrow is the 4th. I have a wake-up call. So I'll be on tomorrow night at 9. Praise Yahweh, and I'll see all of you a little later.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going.